Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight, as we near the end of summer vacation, we are surrounded by back-to-school advertising, and we are slowly recognizing that the end of summer and the need to prepare for school is upon us. Tonight, we talk about how do we help all children, regardless of their capabilities, to succeed in school. Some children seem to take to the reading curriculum with ease. Other children struggle. How do we help struggling children to succeed with self-confidence and assurance, to understand that they are not special, that they simply learn differently? Tonight, we talk about children with learning disabilities and dyslexia. To help us understand the needs of these children and ways to help them is my guest, Stephanie Miller-Berman, an Orton-Gillingham reading therapist and the founder of Read to Succeed, Inc., which is her private practice dedicated to using multisensory structured language instruction to help dyslexic and learning disabled children and adults. She's taught for 17 years in the New York City Department of Education as a reading specialist. It is a pleasure to welcome Stephanie Miller-Berman to WDIY to help us take charge of our lives.
Thank you, Ellie. It's a pleasure to be here.
How did you get involved in helping children with reading problems, dyslexia, learning disabilities?
I started out as a home economics teacher in an all-special ed program in the New York City school system. The school was for children 14 to 21 years old who had severe learning disabilities and severe emotional disturbance. So all of these children fell into the special ed category. And while I was doing this, we had a restaurant in the school, and it was very profitable, and the kids loved it. I discovered that they couldn't read, and I didn't begin to know how to teach them because I read from the time I could remember. Somebody in the school who had been practicing Orton got me to an IDA conference, an International Dyslexia Association conference, and I took what was called the subscriber course at that conference. And what it did is it introduced you to Orton and the technique and how it works, and I was hooked. And from there, I started taking courses, and I took a 30-hour course over a week with them and decided that this was absolutely a viable working prospect. And I started hunting down where to go and learn this stuff. And St. John's University was offering a course. The person who was giving it is a fellow of the Academy of Orton-Gillingham Educators and Professionals. And she, as far as I'm concerned, taught me more in 1 year than I learned through 2 master's degrees. I was absolutely hooked, and I'll tell you that it works.
And the other thing is, tell us, you know, most people feel that if their child is not learning to read appropriately, perhaps as they should in the first or second grade, or is having difficulty, they worry that, there's something, quote unquote, wrong with their child. And how do we recognize? And before you answer, I will tell you that I have 4 children, and one of my children was able to read everything. And he would get an assignment. I said, "Oh, Adam, have you finished reading the book?" "Oh, certainly, Mom, got everything done." I said, "Oh, good, tell me what it was about." He said, "I don't know." So that was one. And then I have another son who could not learn to read, but if the teacher gave a good lecture, well-organized, he could understand everything. And we had to intercede for this young man because when they gave tests that were standardized tests, we would have to have somebody step in and read for him and request that we have somebody mandatory step in for him. So tell us about how do we determine and understand that our children are not special but have a different way of learning?
I think it's important that we understand what dyslexia is. There was a time that people thought if you were dyslexic, it meant you reversed your letters. That's not true. It could be, but it's not necessarily true. Dyslexia is a language-based learning disability. It's characterized by difficulties with accurate or fluent word recognition, with poor spelling, decoding, the ability to understand some core disabilities in recognizing the written word, spelling. Sometimes there are issues in spoken language that come into play. It's as though, it's a great big umbrella term that covers a lot of territory. And there are a number of ways that you can figure out what's wrong with your child. The best way is to take your child for good evaluations from a neuropsychologist. And that's a very expensive route to take.
Don't the schools now do evaluations as part of their IEP, part of their treatment plans?
Yes, they do. And I can't address Pennsylvania because I'm not familiar with how they work. However, my big issue when I taught in the New York City public school system was that their psychologists, and they were very nice people and very good at what they did, were not allowed to diagnose dyslexia because that meant that you had to provide a very specialized kind of teaching. And unfortunately, we don't teach the teacher what to do. We teach a teacher about teaching. It's a very theoretical thing. We put them in a classroom with 30 kids, and they have to teach the entire class. And invariably, somebody's going to fall through the cracks.
In Pennsylvania, we do have special needs programs, and we do have an individualized education plan for every child, so that if a child does have special needs, they can get the valuable teaching that they need for individual or in small class basis. So that's not what is true for New York was not true for Pennsylvania.
Yeah, part of what the problem was, too, is that if you had a learning disability and you were embarrassed, the way that you got around it as a child was you became the class clown. And invariably, that got you into special ed because that was where you put kids that did not perform or had emotional disabilities. It's not true that they had emotional disabilities. They were embarrassed. So it's hard to sort out what's what. You can sit down with your child and you can give them what I refer to as phonically controlled material, things that are very simple to read that have no vowel digraphs, no AEAs and no double E's and no OYs and OIs, because for children like this, that has to be individually taught. If your child can read "the cat sat at bat," and it's only a couple of letters, well, that's a good thing. If you start hearing your child read the k, at, b, at, that's an indication that they don't have fluency. And that has to be remediated by somebody who knows what they're doing.
Now, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. And this evening, we're talking about meeting the needs of children who are dyslexic or who have learning disabilities. And my guest this evening is Stephanie Miller Berman, an Orton Gillingham reading therapist, founder of Read to Succeed Incorporated, which is her private practice dedicated to using multi-sensory structured language instruction to help dyslexic and learning disabled children. How did you start in the city of New York? You taught special needs children ages 14 to 21. That must have been a very specialized population. Give us an example of some of your experiences.
Most of my kids came directly from mental institutions. They came directly from jail to this school. And everybody, all of the students in this school, fell into a category called emotionally disturbed or learning disabled. There were no other children in these buildings. And I came to the school by accident. I got into teaching reading by necessity. And Every now and again, I was very fortunate. I worked for some really wonderful people. The last principal that I worked for who really, really made a difference was able to set me up in a situation where I was able to work with children who had never, ever read a single solitary word, couldn't write their name, absolutely nothing. And I worked with these children one-to-one. And the one that comes to mind all the time is a young man called Edwin.
And how old was Edwin?
Edwin was 17. Nice kid. Nice boy. Very respectful, very pleasant. Could not read a single solitary word and could not write his name.
And most of the children that you were teaching at this time that you were reaching were age 14 to 21?
Yes.
And they were not able to read at all?
The vast majority of them could not read at all.
Did they have behavior problems as well?
Almost all of them.
Were they happy to see you?
Not usually. They came kicking and screaming. And I would have to convince them, and I'd make them promise that if I could make you read, by the time you left my 45-minute session, you had to promise not only to come back, but to do this exactly the way I tell you, even if you think it's silly. And I would get, yeah, okay, Mrs. M, I would come. Blah, blah, blah. And this was all very nice, except they didn't know what they were in for, because you can build the success into this. So Edwin and I sat down that first day, and I presented him with six consonants and a vowel. And I had him trace on a carpet using his fingertips to build new neural pathways around some of the problems that prevent these children from acquiring written language. And by the time I got finished with him, he could read, "A cat sat at bat. Tam and a cat had a bat."
And we're going to hear more about Edwin when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
You're listening to WDIY, Community Public Radio for the Lehigh Valley. If you appreciate and value the programming we provide, including NPR's in-depth news coverage, our local public affairs programs, and the diverse mix of music we broadcast each day, please consider becoming a member. Membership is our most important source of revenue. We can't do it without you. You can make a secure donation online at wdiy.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobro, your host. And this evening, we're talking with a fascinating guest, Stephanie Miller-Berman, an Orton-Gillingham reading therapist and the founder of Read to Succeed, Inc., which is her private practice dedicated to using multi-sensored, structured language instruction to help dyslexic and learning-disabled children and adults.
Absolutely.
And we were just talking before the break, we were talking about this student, Edwin, who is, I believe is 17?
17.
And he couldn't read a thing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Tell us about Edwin and your work with him.
So Edwin and I sat, as I told you, and we went through six consonants and a vowel. And by the time we finished, he could read, "A cat sat at bat. Tam and a cat had a bat." Which sounds ridiculous when you think about it. And I said to him, "Okay, Edwin, what's the story about?" And he proceeded to tell me about the children who were playing baseball and the cat was there and the dog was there. And he's elaborating on this story. And I said to him, "Congratulations, you're reading. You not only decoded the words and sounded them all out correctly, but you understood what the story about. Congratulations, you're now reading. I'll see you tomorrow." He looked at me quizzically and said, "Okay, I'll be back." And showed up the next morning promptly at 8 o'clock. And from there on, we worked systematically. Because one of the lovely things about this is that it's systematic and cumulative. It doesn't jump around. For me, I have a syllabus. Everybody has their own. But I have a system that I work with because I find it works for me and for the children. And one day, I called the principal. And I said to him, "Listen, I don't care if you come and do an observation formally. I don't care what it is you do, but you've got to come and see this." And so he came in and I explained to Edwin that Mr. Hecht was there only to observe me, not to observe him. And we went through the visual and the auditory cards, and we went through something that I refer to as silly syllables, where you mix up the letter cards and you come up with silly words like Glibnerf. and flopnid, which don't mean anything, but your brain doesn't want to read that. It wants to read what it knows. So when you can read nonsense words, you're well on your way to reading. And by the time poor Mr. Hecht walked out of my room, Edwin had not only gone through the entire 45-minute session, but sat there reading a rather complex story that nobody ever thought he would be able to read. And I picked up a pencil, I handed it to him, and I said, Edwin, write the following sentence. And I gave him a sentence to write that I knew he could because I had taught him all of the letters and all of the spelling rules involved, because this is a part of it. And Mr. Hecht sat there with his mouth hanging open and couldn't believe his eyes. And Edwin was only one of a number of instances where that was the case.
Because Edwin came in resistant at first.
Oh, and how. He dug his heels and he was not going. There was no way I could teach him to do anything. He was sure of it.
And he was 17 when he came in.
Sure.
Hadn't known how to read.
Had failed all his life at learning.
And this was a new experience. And you opened his eyes to the possibility of success, that he was not stupid. He just was needed a different way to learn, to perceive the reading. And you gave it to him.
Yeah, essentially what I did for him is I helped him break the code. That's really what it amounted to. Suddenly, the letter had a meaning. The C said something. The K said something. Two letters together now said something. When you see S and H, you don't say sh. If you have learning disability, somebody has to tell you that it says sh. Otherwise, how do you know?
Exactly.
And this is how it worked with Edwin until he ultimately graduated from school.
He graduated?
Yeah, he graduated. And I should explain, graduation from this school was not like graduation from a regular school. But Edwin could now read most of the daily news.
That's amazing.
He could read a street sign. He could see. He could read a subway station.
Was he able to get a job?
They had a program in this school that put you into work study situations, and unfortunately, they did not track where these kids went. The last I heard, he was working. It was not an academic kind of profession. But even if you're going to be a housekeeping worker, you better know how to read the word poison.
Yeah, you better believe it. You better believe it. But you gave this young man an opportunity to succeed, to get a job, to succeed in life, where he was feeling so rotten about himself. The only thing he was capable of doing, and see if you agree with this, he was capable of joining a gang.
Oh, absolutely. And getting into trouble, because that didn't require any academics.
And you showed him another way, that he didn't have to belong to a gang, that he could read, that he was okay, and he could get a job.
Yeah, absolutely. You had asked me earlier if this works in a classroom, and I just wanted to tell you that I had a very interesting situation. I sat down with a group of kids, and every day after lunch, when the restaurant closed, we would go through very basic reading things. There were six or eight kids in the classroom at that point. And I had one child who had just come to class. Her name was Eleanor. And, Eleanor. And she was the most recalcitrant child I had ever met in my entire life. And I understood why after I met her mother.
How old was Eleanor?
She was probably about 15.
15.
And her mother made it very clear to me that of her eight children, seven were in jail, and she preferred that this child not interact socially with other children because it was simply going to get her into trouble. And so what I had was a child who would come in the morning and sit down. She did not speak, she did not eat, she did not drink, and she did not go to the bathroom. I don't know how she got through an entire day. If I asked her something, she would nod her head or shake it no, but that was as far as I got.
But she wouldn't speak.
She would not speak to me. She would do nothing. I would say, would you like to go to the bathroom? She would shake her head no. And I thought that there was more to this. It turns out this was the mother. Anyhow, I'm sitting and I'm going through the class, and my kids are reading this very basic stuff. Sam and Ted had a nap. And they would read things of that level. And they went around the room, and then they would go around a second time. And suddenly, Eleanor turns around to me and she says, can I try? I almost fell off my seat. And she proceeded to read. She had been listening, She had been watching what everybody was doing and obviously assimilating the information. And she's suddenly reading. And now the kids are arguing over who's going to read next.
Now, Stephanie, are you saying that this was her first attempt at reading?
Yes.
And here she was 15. It was her first attempt. Mm-hmm. And she was volunteering. Mm-hmm. While all the while she had been very, very recalcitrant and uncooperative.
Right. And I think what she suddenly realized is that every child in the classroom was in her situation. Nobody could read. Nobody could write. Nobody could do math. They didn't understand how much a coin was worth. Suddenly everybody was in her the same boat as she was. And I wasn't scolding, and I wasn't demeaning, and all I was doing was instructing. And suddenly, I've got kids that are fighting over who's going to read next. When the class was over and they went to gym or whatever it was they went to, I went flying down the stairs to the principal's office, and I said to him, you know what? If I could take what just happened and put it in a bottle, I could market this, and every teacher could take a sip at least once a day, and come back renewed and refreshed. He said, what happened? I said, my kids were fighting. And he looked at me like I had two heads. And I said, no, you don't understand. They were fighting over who was going to read next. I mean, it was unheard of in that school for that to happen. And that really, I think, was what gave me the impetus to go further, because the training for this is extensive. Where I am now as a certified member of the Academy required a total of 300 hours of supervised practicum and 3 years of schooling. And it was a big undertaking.
But it was worthwhile.
Oh, I love it.
Because the success that you achieved, that momentum that you received from the class fighting over who was going to read next, was a tremendous motivation.
I had a woman, she was the oldest student I ever had, who called me, and she said, I'm a massage therapist, but I can't read. I said, how did you pass the exam? She said, I have a very vivid imagination, and I see things in three dimensions. So I was able to get through the practical, and I think she said somebody may have helped her get through the written part or read it to her, some such thing. Anyhow, we started. And we started, unfortunately, with the bat and the mat and the cat, and I apologized because this is really baby stuff. It didn't take 6 months. And she said, you know, if I could get through the math, I would really like to learn to be a para. A paraprofessional.
A paraprofessional.
So we started working on the math. She took the paras exam and passed it with flying colors within 8 months of the time she read her first word.
That is amazing.
Yeah. So she's a very bright woman.
But it's amazing what this technique seems to be able to capture and motivate both students and adults to achieve, because that was remarkable.
Yeah. I can tell you in all honesty that I have never had a child who was not successful. By definition, these children have average to above average intelligence. And I've never had a child who did not learn to read. I had one child who was taken out of my tutelage because her mother didn't think I was working hard enough with her. The psychologist didn't agree with her, but she was the only one that was ever a failure.
For those people who are listening who might want to be in touch with you and learn more, give them some information on how they can contact you. Do you have an email?
Yes, I have an email. It's read to succeed, readtosucceed. INC@AOL.com. Or you can contact me by phone, 484-281-3280. And if I'm not there, just please leave a message with a phone number that you've said slowly, and I will call you back.
Well, I think that's what, and you're talking now not only about children, adults perhaps who feel that they have been left behind.
Oh, sure.
So it can be both either children or adults or college students who are having difficulty.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that is wonderful. And I want to thank you so much, Stephanie Miller Berman, founder of Read to Succeed, Inc., for helping us to understand that children and adults with learning disabilities and dyslexia have the capability to learn and to succeed in all levels of education given the right instruction. You have shown that the Orton-Gillingham method, a multisensory structured language instruction, provides the tools for success. And if you wish to contact Stephanie Miller Berman, contact her at smillerberman.
You can do it at smillerberman
at AOL.com.
Or readtosucceedinc@AOL.com.
Thank you for encouraging and inspiring us to understand that children with dyslexia and learning disabilities can succeed both in school and in life. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.